الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, since there will be a nikah today, I think it is most appropriate that we speak on some aspects of nikah. Alhamdulillah, we have heard many times previously various aspects of nikah that pertains to all of us. Inshallah, today we will share some advices regarding nikah, and especially our youngsters who have as yet not come into marriage, although many of them have the capability of becoming husbands and wives. It is an encouragement to them especially that they should come into nikah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the riwayat of Kanzul Umal, he says, miskinun miskinun miskin. And that person, that male who does not have a wife, who is unmarried, who is single, who is a bachelor, he is not married, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is a poor person in reality. He is a miskin. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالٍ. Even though he may be rich, even though he may have a lot of money, a lot of dunya in his possession, but in reality, because he does not have a wife, he is regarded as being a poor person. And similarly, a woman who does not have a wife, she may be very wealthy as far as the material things of this world are concerned, but in reality she is miskina, miskina, miskina. Now from this hadith we can understand the importance of nikah. Because wealth does not bring to a person that comfort, that peace of mind, that tranquility, that serenity that nikah brings to a person. And the ayat that I read, it is one of the signs of Allah's greatness. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ. That Allah has created for you, from your own kind, from your own species, partners, so that you may dwell in them with tranquility, with serenity. And Allah says, Allah has made mawadda and rahma, love and mercy between husband and wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed an assembly of youngsters. Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, O assembly of youth, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata fal yatazawaj. Whosoever has the means of performing nikah, he should do so. Why? فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ. Nikah helps a person to restrain his glances from haram woman. When a person is not married, and because of his desires, then he tends to cast lustful glances at women. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ. When a person gets married, then this nikah will help him to lower his glance. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a person casts a lustful glance at a woman who is not his wife, it is one of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. Therefore, in the Hadith Qudsi, Allah says, that person who turns away, he does not cast his lustful glance on that woman, out of my fear, Allah says, I will give him the sweetness of Iman. I will bless such a person with the sweetness of Iman. But when a person gets married, and then he is granted this permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he has a halal wife, so he can look at his wife as much as he wishes to. In the riwayat it is mentioned, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَى إِمْرَأَتِهِ وَنَظَرَتْ إِلَيْهِ. When a husband looks at his lawful wife, he casts a glance at his wife with muhabbat, with love and affection. And she also looks at him with muhabbat and love. نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمَا نَظَرَ رَحْمَةً. Then Allah looks at this husband and wife with a merciful glance. When the husband and wife, they hold hands, of course not in public, in privacy. When the husband shows his love to his wife, and she shows his muhabbat to her husband, before their hands can part, Allah forgives their sins. It is mentioned in the hadith that their sins fall off from between the fingers, their minor sins. But if a person does this to a woman and they are not yet married, then they are inviting the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy and so beautiful and so simple for us that the institution of nikah is part of deen, part of Islam. We are encouraged by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get our youngsters married. In the time of Sahaba, we find so many examples. If we read the Hayat al-Sahaba, then you would see examples and incidents of the Sahaba. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would find that it is an opportune moment for the Sahabi to get married, then he would make some means and ways for the Sahabi to get married. Julaybib radiallahu ta'ala an was not a very handsome looking person. Kana qasiran damiman. He was short in stature, not very good looking. Appearance, not very good. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked a certain family that, do you wish your daughter to get married? I've got a proposal. So they thought it was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming with the proposal. He said, yes, for you, O Messenger of Allah, we are ready. He said, no, it's not for me, it's for Julaybib. When the husband hears it's Julaybib, he says, oh, let me make mashura with my wife now. When she hears this, she says, oh, Julaybib, no ways. We're not interested in Julaybib. So the person who had taken this proposal from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on behalf of Julaybib, he was about to come back. When suddenly this girl, the daughter, she hears this. She says, wait a minute. The proposal has come from who? From Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on behalf of Julaybib. Can we turn back the proposal of Allah's Rasul? Impossible. Whatever it is, I am prepared to get married to Julaybib. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes so happy with her answer that he makes a dua for her. Allahumma usbub alayha al-khayra sabban. Oh Allah, pour your mercy upon this woman. Wala taj'al ma'ishaha kaddan. Oh Allah, don't make her life a misery and one of difficulties. It is mentioned when she got married to Julaybib radiallahu ta'ala an, and after he passed away, she was the richest of all the Ansar. Richest woman of the Ansar, and the one who would give most charity from amongst the Ansar women, on account of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This Julaybib radiallahu ta'ala, after some time, after he's married, on one expedition he goes and he is killed. He becomes shaheed. Rasulullah asked Sahaba, "Are you missing any person? Is everybody here?" They said, "Yeah, everybody is here. We haven't lost any person." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his Sahaba ikram. He did not look at the outward beauty and how handsome his Sahabi was, how rich and how poor. He loved every single Sahabi of his. He says, I cannot see Julaybib around. Look for him. They search for him. They find him. Around 7 others who were killed from the enemy. Julaybib had killed them. And then somebody had killed Julaybib radiallahu ta'ala. It is mentioned Rasulullah s.a.w. takes Julaybib radiallahu ta'ala in his own Mubarak hands. There is no bier, no coffin whatsoever. He goes down the qabr. And with his own Mubarak hands, he buries Julaybib radiallahu ta'ala. Coming back to this incident of the nikah. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. A very strange incident. For us, it would be strange. He's interested in a girl. He tells Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Darda, I'm interested there. Please take my proposal. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala goes, knocks on the door, enters, makes salam, meets the people. And he says, see, my friend Salman is waiting outside. He's interested in getting married to your daughter. Are you all happy? They say, Amma Salman Fala. As far as Salman is concerned, we're not happy. But we're happy with you. And we don't mind getting our daughter married to you. And Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, in just few moments, he's so overwhelmed. And he accepts. Nikah is made. Salman is waiting outside. Abu Darda has taken the proposal of Salman. But his own nikah got married to that girl. Nikah takes place. Now how is he going to face Salman? He comes out. He says, Salman, I've got a problem. Please, listen to me. Make me maaf. He says, what happened? He says, you sent me inside to get married to this girl. They were not happy with you. They were happy with me. They got me married. I'm feeling ashamed to face you. Now you and I, what we would have done on that occasion. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says, oh my brother Abu Darda, I am feeling ashamed of myself. That when Allah had decreed your nikah with that woman, how could I send you then for my proposal? This was the love Sahaba Ikram had. Their hearts were clean, the hearts were pure. They understood Iman, they understood Taqwa, they understood Deen, they understood Sharia. Islam was not difficult for them. Islam becomes difficult for us when we fail to understand the injunctions of Allah. We turn a blind eye to the Quran and the Hadith. We're not interested. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu gets married to a woman from the Kinda tribe. It is mentioned in the riwayat, he gets married and now he proceeds to her house. He's going to spend the first night at her house. He's accompanied with his friends. And as he comes to the door, now he tells his friend, sorry, you must go back. He did not give his friends permission to enter the home. It is mentioned in the riwayat, kama yaf'alu sufaha. Like how the foolish people do. Person gets married, his nikah takes place, now his friends accompany him, and they go into the room where his newlywed bride is sitting there, and all the friends are sitting and watching her. Is that deen? Is that Islam? Is that parda? Is that hijab? And then the nonsensical talks and the lewdness, immodesty, bihayai, no fikr for salat, there is no zikr, there is no tilawat. The poor girl sits there, and all the other friends are looking and laughing at her. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says, you people must go back. And before he could enter the home, he finds that it is covered, it is draped with huge curtains and decorations. What does he say? Amahmumun baytukum? Is your home suffering some type of fever, some flu, influenza, that it requires to be draped and covered in this fashion? Or is the Kaaba now brought from Makkah to Kinda in your place? They say, neither of the both. So he says, listen to me, remove these heavy drapings and ornaments, because my beloved Khalil sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised me. He said, oh Salman, your provisions in this world should be kazadir rakib, like that amount a traveler requires on his safar, on his journey. All this is expenses, extra. Therefore, he made them remove it, and then he entered the house. It's a lengthy incident. He tells the woman of the home, please, excuse us. They go out. He closes the door. He goes to his wife. He holds her by her hair. He recites a dua. And then he tells her, listen, I've got a request. Will you listen to me? She says, definitely. Whatever your request, whatever your command is, I will be a faithful and loyal wife. He says, I promise my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when I will meet my wife on the first day, on the first night, then I will meet her on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she understood what he meant. Both make wudu and they both perform 2 rakat salats. This is how the nikah takes place. This is the first night of a person when he gets married, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Starting the new life with the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After salat is completed, and then he spends the night with his wife. The next morning his friends meet him. Salman, what's new? How did everything go? Tell us something. Salman remains silent. Few times they ask him, he remains silent. Until finally he tells them, listen, why do we have curtains? Why do we have walls? So that a person can enjoy some privacy. The person outside, he may not peep and pry into somebody's own private affairs. What is behind this home, what is in open, you can ask me about that, I will tell you. What is inside, that is my private life. And don't ask me anything about my private life. It is mentioned in hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The worst, inna min asharrin nas. Worst of people on the day of Qiyamah are such people who, when they get married, the husband spends his night with his wife, wife spends her night with her husband. They see each another. And the next day, the husband goes and reveals the secrets of his wife. Worst of people. Salman tells him, I heard Rasulullah saying that any person who divulges the secrets of his own wife and tells the public about his own privacy, his private marriage life, it is like a donkey or two donkeys on the road who have intercourse. My respected brothers and elders, sometimes we get carried away. Therefore, it is imperative to read the incident of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, when a person gets married, then he has completed half his deen. Half his iman, half his deen is complete. فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي النِّسْفِ الْبَاقِ. Now he must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the remaining part of his life, he must acquire in his life taqwa. A person gets married, and he feels now there is freedom for him or her to do anything they wish to do. The Fajr Salat, person is missing. The other Salat, he is not there after they get married. He used to read his Quran Tilawat, now suddenly there is no Tilawat in his life. There is no Dhikrullah. He used to give Sadaqat, no Sadaqat. He used to keep Nafil Roza, there is no Nafil Roza. There is a life of Ghaflat, whereas it should not be so. A person who gets married now, he is seeking Iffat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Afaf. He wants to be a chaste person, a pure person. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, that it becomes a right upon Allah. Allah takes it as a responsibility upon himself. That when a person gets married, an-nakihu yuridul afaf, that person who wants to live a chaste and pure life, then Allah assists such a person in his life. And therefore Allah has mentioned, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكْرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. That person who does righteous deeds, good deeds, be he a male or female. Ulama Mufassirin say the word مَنْ عَمِلَ, whoever does good deeds, whoever has brought iman, in that is included males and females. But Allah specifically has made mention of males and females to bring to our attention the important promise that Allah has kept for us in this ayat. Whosoever brings iman in Allah and he does righteous deeds, then Allah promises, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah says, we will give him a very beautiful life. A life full of serenity. A blissful life. A happy life. Mufassirin give many tafsir regarding حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Some say it means الرِّزْقُ الْحَلَال. Halal rosy. Some say qanaat, to be content. Some say the marifat of Allah. The recognition of Allah. Some say the sweetness of the ibadat of Allah. Some say the tawfiq towards ta'at and khairat. Allah gives such a person contentment of the heart. He does not become greedy. He is happy with whatever Allah has decided for him. He lives a good life. Allah gives him happiness in this world. Mufassirin say even in the qabr also. And they say even in the akhirah. Allah says we will give him a better reward even in the akhirah. Look at the life of Rasulullah SAW. Azwaj-e Mutahharat. Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha. When she was taken as a captive, she was taken as a slave, she falls in the lot of Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu ta'ala an. She is extremely beautiful. When Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala sees her, she says, oh, I just hope that Rasulullah SAW must not see her. Because if he has to get married to her, what's going to happen to me then? But Allah made it such that Juwayriya comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I need to pay for my freedom. I'm in difficulties, help me. Rasulullah tells her, when Allah had commanded him to do so, that shall I not show you something better? She says, I'm ready. He says, I will pay for your freedom and I will marry you. As this is still happening, her father comes. He was the leader of the Banu Mustariq tribe. And he had brought some camels to pay as a ransom for his daughter who was taken as a captive. So he says, oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that my daughter has been taken as a captive. Please take these camels and set her free. He said, let Juwayriya, or let her, give her the choice, whatever she decides. She says, I have chosen Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Rasul tells the father, that where are all those camels you brought? He says, they are here. He says, what about those other two camels you hid behind the mountain? He gets a shock of his life, two camels behind the mountain, only I knew about it. And then he says, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and you Muhammad, you are the true messenger of Allah. He also brings iman. Sahaba hear that Rasulullah has married Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Immediately they had taken also other captives as slaves. They say these are the in-laws of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they set these slaves free. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha then says, she says, I did not see any other woman than Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha, that her family, her tribe, they were so fortunate and blessed because of her. When she came into the marriage of Rasulullah SAW, and because of that, then all her, the remaining persons of her tribe who were taken as captives, they also gained the freedom. Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha lived a pious life in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After Fajr Salat, she remained seated on the Musalla. Rasulullah had left home. After a few hours, he comes back. He finds her still seated in the same position. He says, oh Juwayriya, you have been seated in the same position since I left you. She says, yes. What are you doing? She's making ibadat. He says, listen, I read just four words three times. And what I have read, if it has to be compared and weighed to what you have read, then what I have read will outweigh whatever you have done. And he teaches us a dua. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa ridha nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimatihi. The point I want to get across, look at the lives these sahabiyat lived. After they got married, they did not become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, it is mentioned that she was only 18 years old on the demise of Rasulullah SAW. More than 1,000 ahadith she had memorized. Sahaba would come to her and ask her masail of deen. Regarding her, it is mentioned that she would keep roza almost every single day of her life. All the other sahabiyat, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is given glad tidings of a palace in Jannat. Allah sends salam to her. Allah sends salam to her. Because she stood by her husband. She stood by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She gave him the support. She showed the love and affection towards him. Before even he could become a Nabi. Before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could even give her dawah towards Islam. We know the incident of the cave of Hira, What does she tell Rasulullah? How does she console him? Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada. Don't worry, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will never let you down. Allah will never disgrace you. Allah will not make any harm come to you. And then she enumerates the beautiful bounties of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would long for her. Even after she passed away, he would think of his Khadija. He would slaughter an animal and make meat parcels and distribute this towards the friends of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. My respected brothers and elders, we have heard on many occasions, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النِّكَاحِ بَرَكَةً أَيْسَرُهُ مَأُونَ. This is the message all of us should take back home. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words, that nikah which has the greatest amount of barakat and blessings is that nikah in which the least amount of expenses incurred. أَيْسَرُهُ مَأُونَ. Least amount of expenses. That brings about the most amount of barakat into a person's life. Unfortunately today, respected brothers and elders, we are forced to say this from the minbar. It has become a practice. Person gets married today. Before the evening of the same day, Allah forbid, there is talaq already. Where have we gone wrong? Let us fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lead a righteous, a pious life. Those who do not lead a righteous and pious life, yeah, there are other reasons also sometimes talaq takes place. But those who are sincere, they are dedicated, they try, they endeavor. The husband and wife, they live a mutual, happy life. They fulfill each person's duties and they fulfill each person's rights. Then you see peace and barakat. Otherwise, like that person who got married, and after some time, looks at the nikah certificate and he's scrutinizing every edge in every corner. His wife is watching him. Arey bhai, kya ho raha hai? So long, what are you looking at? He says, no, just wait 1 minute. He looks, turns the side of the certificate, the other side, looks. She says, what are you looking for? He says, I'm looking for the expiry date. Can't find the expiry date. Somebody said that love is blind. Love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener. There are various explanations to marriage being an eye-opener. But look at the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The nikah of Fatima and Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Times has already expired. We have the nikah to perform. But I urge all of you to read the nikah of Fatima and Ali radiallahu ta'ala. What a beautiful, what a simple nikah. The mahar was given. It was an armor. And the dua Rasulullah sallam gave Fatima and Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And the harmony that prevailed, the simple life of Fatima. When she was in need, when she was in distress, what did her father teach her? 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar after every salat, and when she goes to bed. Sayyidina Ali says, lifelong I read this tasbihat. Somebody asked, even the time of Siffin, that battle that took place, he says, even at the night of Siffin, I read this tasbih. It brought barakat to them. There are ups and downs. One Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Fatima had a tiff. Sahaba say, we saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going into the home. He was very, very sad, grieved. And after some time he comes out. And when he comes out, we see him very happy. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what has made you happy? Why is your face beaming with joy? He says, why shouldn't I be happy when I just made peace between the two people who are most beloved to me? Those two people who are most beloved to me, they had an argument. So I was instrumental in joining them again. Sayyidina Rasulullah says, he says, oh Aisha, I know the occasion when you are upset with me. She says, how do you know so? He says, when you are upset with me, then you don't take my name. You say, Allahumma wallah Rabba Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then you don't say Rabba Muhammad. She says, you're right. At that time I remove your name. But oh my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have not removed your love from my heart. I still love you very dearly. These were the Sahaba ikram, my respected brothers and elders. May Allah give this nikah barakat. May Allah give all our youngsters that opportunity and create the means for them to live a chaste life. Really, respected brothers and elders, when a person commits zina, the seven earths, the seven skies, they curse this person. It is mentioned in Jahannam, a stench, a smell, an odor will emanate from the private parts of those people who commit zina. Jahannam, the inmates of Jahannam, they seek protection and refuge from such a person. When a person commits zina, iman comes out of his heart. It is suspended in the air. As long as a couple are committing zina, iman is out of their hearts. These are serious issues. We complain, we cry. What is happening to our youth? My respected brothers and elders, let us advise them. And let us create the means for them. When we see our child is of age, and explain to him the laws of nikah, and he must be mentally mature enough. Because nikah is not just an institution whereby a person will just fulfill his nafs and desires. But it is a lifetime, lifelong responsibility. May Allah give us understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.